This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. It is hour number three rolling along. Yeah, we've been talking about the Brandon Miller situation. Scored 41 points last night in a win against South Carolina. An overtime win, by the way. Against South Carolina, but we're also sticking around in the NFL as the free agent window is open, and again, we'll be waiting to see what the Ravens do from now until March 7th is when that closes, what they do with Lamar Jackson, and what the Giants will do with Daniel Jones and some others, as Geno Smith is in the names popping up. It gives you an opportunity to sort of get your situation. But there is an interesting story, Ron. I don't know if this is one of those where Pro Football Talk is like, you know, why not? Let's just do this. Why not? It's a late February day, not much going on. Let's just throw this out and see. And I'm like, all right, I'll reel this bad boy in. The possibility of Tom Brady playing for the San Francisco 49ers next season. All right, I'll bite. I can get it. I can understand. Reel me in just a little bit. So...
Because
you have to write something. If you're on a site called Pro Football Talk, you better have football things to talk about, right? Right. It's not college basketball and football talk.
Here's the thing I hate about this is that I could see the logic behind it.
I totally do too.
And I think I hate that the most.
So when I was putting some topics together, I was like, you know what? This is silly, but at the same time, I'm like, wait, it makes sense.
Yeah.
This is kind of something. Okay. And so just for those.
Go ahead. Set it up.
All right. So for those of you who are just kind of wondering about Tom Brady's commitment to the Buccaneers, well, his contract ends next month. So he would have been a free agent even if he had not decided to retire, right? So he has filled out the paperwork, but it's not one of those situations where he can't go unless the Buccaneers trade him or give him his release. You know, like retired guys have to sort of wait a little bit. You know, like Sean Payton. Sean Payton retired, and then he wants another job in the NFL, and the Broncos have to give him compensation. That's not this. His contract with the Buccaneers would have ended, and then he would have negotiated another deal. Remember, we had Pat Donovan on a few times and the kind of speculation that they would probably sign him if he wanted to play again. So he can be a free agent. And now you've got a football team that is so good, right, built so well, all these great weapons, great defense, good head coach, all of these things. The problem is they've got two injured quarterbacks right now, and they just got bad news on Brock Purdy. Now, Trey Lance should be available for offseason workouts, and he was a guy you drafted early in the first round as your franchise quarterback.
But
Brock Purdy did really good, but they just got news, and it's not good, that there's inflammation in the elbow that's going to prevent the big surgery that he has to have, which was going to require 6 months to be properly healed from. And that puts Brock Purdy in a situation where he has to wait for that inflammation to go down, delaying the surgery, putting him further and further into the fall. And that could be problematic. So if you're the 49ers and you're like, look, everything around us is built to win a championship, and oh, by the way, it's your hometown, could Brady be swayed enough to go, I know it looks bad to unretire twice, but what the heck? Yep. I'll be a 49er. And as much as you chuckle, it's like a legitimate talking point, right?
Yes.
It's kind of silly, but at the same time, you're like,
It annoys me that
I
it
know.
Is.
It is, right?
I really feel upset.
We want our retired people to stay retired. Even though, like, I've said before, I don't blame if you can't give it up.
We know for a fact JJ's not coming back.
Right.
You know, even though he hasn't filled out his paperwork, even though he sent out a funny tweet the other day that he was talking about how he's never blocked a text in his life and he's never reported as junk in his life. But he received a text saying, hey, you have been selected for the NFL's drug test.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm about to block this guy. I'm about to report this guy as junk. You can't test me anymore. I quit.
Yeah.
This is fascinating.
It is fascinating. It really is. If you had a healthy Brock Purdy coming out of the conversation.
No.
Like, if you had Brock Purdy coming out of the NFC Championship game, even in a loss,
where he played well, but they lost, and you go, there's no question, right? You go, nope, there's no need for him. But if you've got more and more doctors going, yeah, I can't, no, I don't know. And then we still don't know if that surgery heals properly or if he needs another surgery. Like, it's a really complex injury. It's not as simple as like, oh, we're just going to go in and snap some stuff together. You should be fine. Like you said earlier, we could be talking Tommy John if this procedure doesn't go well. It does open up a conversation of, well, what are you going to do at the quarterback position? Right? You got Jimmy Garoppolo's moving on. You've got Trey Lance, who you believed in, but fell out of, we sort of forgot about him because he lasted 10 seconds into the season. And then we were all in on Jimmy G again. And then we were in on Brock Purdy again. We were in on Brock Purdy. But now you could have both of those guys where you're not really excited about the first one, and the other one's really, really hurt. And all of a sudden, Tom Brady, and what if you're Tom Brady? Because one of the points in this article is, remember, Brady always said for years he would retire when he stunk.
Yeah.
And he doesn't stink. We're not watching a guy throwing incompletions and over the head of receivers and just a complete and utter disaster. We saw a guy, like, he had a bad team around him, but he statistically was a pretty good player.
Yeah, and it's the perfect reason to say I had to retire. And none of us can really fault him for it.
No, I don't. I'm one of those people that says, look, it may annoy me if you keep retiring and unretiring, but
right.
Deep down I understand. If you get something you love taken away from you, you may not be willing to give it up as quickly as you think. It's permanent. Like being done, like J.J. Watt, right? Like, he's not coming back, but he's done now. That's it. He's never going to suit up in a football uniform again. And that's emotionally taxing, because most people get to do their careers until they're 70.
Right.
The field of choice that they love, the field of choice he loves is football, and now it's over. And that's it. You got to find the next, what are you going to do for the next 45, 50 years?
Uh-oh.
Right. You know? And so it's not an easy decision. I respect the decision. Yes, I agree.
Is it kind of cruel?
Annoying.
Is it kind of cruel to say, well, JJ, he gets to be a husband and a dad?
Oh, yeah.
Well, is that too soon?
No.
Too soon, Tom?
No. Yeah, too soon, Tom. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Plus, we all talked about this with Brady. He gave up everything for that one crappy Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He did.
8-9 record or whatever
but
it was
again,
they
this
finished.
Is,
right?
I mean, like you said, you know, for Brady, if Brady sits back and he looks at this and goes, the Niners, they might need some help. I mean, especially Brock Purdy can't come back. Jimmy Garoppolo's gone. We already know that. You got to get rid of him. C'est la vie. But Trey Lance still needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
We're not sold on Trey Lance yet. But so, I mean, Tom, you can step in there. Trey Lance can study under you. It's a perfect excuse not to give up your number 3 overall pick and not say he's a bust just yet. It's a good excuse that you have, like, a placeholder, because Brock Purdy did turn a lot of heads and probably worked his way into a starting lineup somewhere if it's not for you. And, Tom, you're all of a sudden, you're immediately on a championship team.
Yeah, immediately on a championship team. You're immediately on a team that could have won the Super Bowl and should have won the Super Bowl if Brock Purdy was healthy. I think we were cheated out of a really good game because of that injury, because Brock Purdy was playing that well that we may have gotten – I don't know if we would have gotten a different result. The Eagles were at home, and they're a solid football team.
Yeah, they were a great
remember,
team.
Jalen Hurts didn't play that game very well. And remember how the Niners stayed in that football game with no quarterback. The defense was like, we're going to keep you in this thing. Do something. But in the end, they just couldn't do it.
They ran out of steam.
They ran out of steam.
I mean, that's gut-wrenching to watch those guys, because, I mean, they were literally – it's another 3-and-out. Come on, boys. Let's get back out there. So it's another 3-and-out. Come on, boys. Get back out there.
If you're John Lynch, you fly to where Brady is and you go, here's a list of every player we still have under contract. These guys are all going to be there next year. And you've got a few more years left in you, don't you, champ? just appeal. And if you're Brady, yeah, you could say I'm retired, but you went down that road and lost your family the first time, right? And you, here's the thing people forget. He wanted to join the 49ers when he left the Patriots.
When he was leaving New England,
He couldn't. They couldn't. They couldn't make it work.
They chose that?
Yes, right? That's right. So he couldn't do that. So he went to the Buccaneers. But never forget, he tried to do that little sly, me and Sean Payton are going to be on the Dolphins thing. that got exposed, and then, boom, he was left holding the bag on that one.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Yeah, right? Yeah, I remember that. Wrong Bill.
No, wrong Brian.
Wrong Brian. I'm sorry, wrong Brian. Bill Belichick, right? So, nevertheless, it was sneaky enough to make you think like he's still actively pursuing something. And then this year, the team doesn't play well, but they still win the division. They still have a home game. They play terrible. They get bombed by the Cowboys. But no one's looking at Brady and went, well, there you go, Cowboy, yeah, off into the sunset.
He was terrible in that game.
He was terrible. You can't be 45 in this league, right? We've proved Father Time right. No, we were. Wait, no, hold on. He's still got it. And he must know that, too, and go get ring number 8.
And you know what the problem is, too? I mean, we talk about it all the time. Everyone talks about it all the time, about Peyton Manning during that final run to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
That it wasn't Peyton Manning who led them there. He just managed that defense.
Yeah, exactly.
And that can't – that's I know that's living rent-free in Brady's mind right now. That, and you're looking at that team, it's like, I just got to manage this team.
Yep.
I don't have to, you know, maybe I'll be called upon for a late drive, 2-minute drill, you know, whatever it might be in the fourth quarter. But on the whole, this defense is going to give me all the opportunities.
Like I said before, at this time of the year, people will grasp at a lot of straws, and some of them don't grasp back. This one is a little bit of a tug. I got to admit. I kind of chuckled at it, and then the more I thought about it, the more I went, it wouldn't blow my mind if that happened. All right, coming up next, the slam dunk champion is riding a new wave of fame. How so? We'll talk about that next on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 1985 on a throwback Thursday. On this date, Bobby Knight threw a chair. Assembly Hall, Bloomington, Indiana, against Purdue. You probably have seen it. You probably know it happened. This is Duran Duran, right?
Yes, sir.
If you were to list the top five bands of the 80s, would Duran Duran be on the top five?
I think they gotta be.
You would put Michael Jackson number one, or musical acts. You'd probably put Michael Jackson number one.
Right.
Because Thriller was
everything.
Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, if we're doing that, if all of a sudden we're going solo acts, I don't think Duran Duran makes the cut. Because I think there are a lot of really incredible
solo acts. So we're adding
solo acts,
if we're expanding it to just a musical act.
Just a music,
like a ticket you would buy to see either Michael Jackson or Def Leppard or Duran Duran or Whitney Houston,
If they're all
under one umbrella, Duran Duran's not in the top five of the 1980s?
Yeah, I think they would fall fast. He's got a lot of good artists in the 80s.
Yeah, you do.
You got a lot of terrible ones. there was some really terrible music back then. But I think if you go just bands in general, you know, Duran Duran might be somewhere in that top five then.
Yeah.
You get rid of all the solo artists.
A lot of hits, man. They had a lot of hits. A lot of hits, and they were in that. They had that View to a Kill. They did the soundtrack for the James Bond movie.
Would you consider them kind of like Coldplay of the
80s? Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, that's probably a good way to put them. Yeah, ton of hits, very, very, very big, very popular.
Everybody loved them. Simon Le Bon.
I was trying to think. He was in something not that long ago. I'm gonna have to Google it.
Who, Simon?
Simon Lamont. I remember seeing his name and going, oh, well, that's the Duran Duran guy. Speaking of everybody loves him, Mac McClung. Everybody's loving themselves some Mac McClung. So latest report is that he's on this G League team. So he's on this two-way deal with the Sixers. He's on their G League team, which is based in Delaware. Now, since he's won the slam dunk contest, that's the hottest ticket in Delaware. Like, if you have a ticket to see Mac McClung for the Delaware Bluecoats, you have got the hottest ticket in the small state of Delaware. Ticket prices go to $64 in some places in their little arena in Wilmington to see now the all-star slam dunk champion. Okay. We love feel-good stories in sports. We always have. We love the underdog story. We always have. Lord knows there's an entire industry in Hollywood based on nothing but Hollywood underdog stories. That's what they make their money off of, right? You ever see a story about the undefeated football team that rolled over everybody and won a championship? No. But if you want Gene Hackman to coach your basketball team, base it on a true story about the little school in Hickory. We love them. I've seen
the undefeated team roll through you in the regular season.
Right, exactly.
You know, a la Mighty Ducks or any other sports movie ever.
Think of the best sports movies out there. It's always the underdog doing something amazing. Like even in the movie Rocky, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, he doesn't even win the fight.
He doesn't win. That's what makes it better.
That's what makes it better. It makes it better that he didn't win. It makes it better when Apollo Creed is looking across the ring at Rocky, who stands up and waves his arms, and he's shaking his head in disbelief. Like, what? Are we doing this? Are we seriously doing this? This guy's getting up? That's what makes the movie emotional. So we love these stories. But on the flip side of every underdog story is a larger question on how it became an underdog story in the first place. Now, sometimes you can get an underdog story of the grit and sort of tenacity of the head coach like Herb Brooks in the movie Miracle, right? Where you're just rooting for the United States hockey team. But in the Mac McClung story, here's an opportunity for this Philadelphia 76er, who's only played two games in the NBA, wins the slam dunk contest, and now he's selling out G League arenas around the country. And the Philadelphia 76ers might bring him up. He's on a two-way deal. It says a lot about how this guy got famous in the first place, which is this. Should he have been in the slam dunk contest at all? What are we saying about the slam dunk contest if we're bullying a G League player, albeit he was fantastic, he was amazing, but isn't the point of the slam dunk contest not really to see good dunks made by people you don't know? Isn't the whole point of that exhibition to see dunks of people you do know? And you do see on a regular basis? Again, underdog stories are great because, again, they pop out of nowhere. You've never heard of this team or you never heard of this person, and they're great. But in this situation, while people are saying, isn't this awesome? The slam dunk superstar is selling out 1,200-seat arenas in Wilmington, Delaware. Yay! But doesn't the NBA have another question it needs to ask itself? How in the world did this happen? How in the world did this even take place? Should we even know who this guy is? Why do we know who this guy is? We know this guy because he was given an opportunity on one of the All-Star Game's premier events. Because the game is a joke. The three-point shooting contest is awesome, but it's nowhere near the level of the slam dunk. The slam dunk is why most people tune into the All-Star Weekend to begin with. But they never see Vince Carter. They don't see Michael Jordan. They didn't see LeBron. They don't see those stars. They see whoever wants to do it, and sometimes that player is somebody you don't know. So I can do two things here. I can applaud Mac McClung for taking an opportunity, riding with it, showcasing his incredible skills. I'll give him love for that. Take the opportunity, young man, 24 years old, and now you're becoming a global superstar because you can do a 520 dunk. And you had everybody in the stands gasping and awe and shock. But at the same time, NBA, the guys that people really want to see dunk that basketball are not participating in it. Major League Baseball will have a problem with the home run derby if minor league players came up and participated in it. Can you imagine if you were at Dodger Stadium in the home run derby and they announced Bruce Evans from Albuquerque is now at the plate. Mike Jones from the Toledo Mud Hens. How would you feel about the home run derby? Would you go, this is valid? The slam dunk contest is a fun thing to do in a walk-in, like a home run derby, like a skills competition. They're cute. They're fun. But it's an all-star weekend for a reason. And if you can't properly convince people that can dunk a basketball in an artistic way to participate in the contest, then don't have the contest. Because while this is a great story on the surface, and I'm not denying the feel-good, get-all-you-can-now, Mac McClung, because you may never play in the NBA. Because it's not about slam-dunking a basketball. And the Philadelphia 76ers may bring you up as a novelty, but they're in a playoff chase for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. They're only three back of the Boston Celtics. So they don't have time for globetrotterism. They need everybody on the court, that everybody on the roster that can contribute in some way. That will be properly evaluated by Daryl Morey and his staff. But in the end, celebrate your accomplishment. Celebrate your rise to the top. Celebrate being the flavor of the week or the flavor of the month, however long you can get this. But I think the separate conversation is, if nobody wants to do this, let's not do this. Because it is kind of silly if we have to go to the G League to find the champions of a slam dunk contest, something guys used to be really proud of. I remember when I was younger, there was a basketball player named Larry Nance, and he was competing in the slam dunk contest, and he was competing against Dr. J, and Dr. J missed a dunk. It was back then, like, he had to complete the dunk and whatnot, and it was in the finals, and Dr. J missed the dunk. I forget what year it was. I want to say early 80s. And Larry Nance, he just did a standard jump up and dunk the basketball. There was no twists. There was no spins. He didn't bounce it off the backboard and catch it. He didn't do any of that stuff. He just realized, hey, if I just dunk the basketball and get a point, I win. So he just went up and dunked the basketball. And he got booed. He got booed because the nature of the competition was, hey, it's a big deal. Treat it as a big deal. Like, go do something. It's not, you know, you're not just winning a trophy. You're putting on a show. Mac McClung put on a show. So that's why I'm not going to deny him the show. That's why I'm not going to deny him what he did and the opportunity that presents itself for him to be a star. People lining up for his autograph now and the pictures and all the things that come and being a young man and getting a Puma deal and everything else that's coming his way. But if you're the NBA, it's not a good look when a G Leaguer is winning your slam dunk contest because he's not a future star. He's just a guy that plays in the G League. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more on the NFL as we continue. It is Wake Up Call. Hit us up on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. And it is Sports Map Radio rolling along on a Throwback Thursday.
Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
You know what I love about Throwback Thursday is that we don't do like an era. We do a year. So if you hear a lot of hits, it's like, what a year that was.
Yeah.
It's not like this was from 82 and this was from 84 and this was from 85. What a year music was in 1985. It might be one of those rabbit holes I get into when I'm bored just to find out what was on the Billboard Top 100. What was Casey Kasem bringing us at the end of the year? The top hits of 1984 coming up. By the way, I know I've said this before, but I love, there's a station in my area. It's an oldies, not an oldie station, but it's like, it's called Hippie Radio. It does like a whole bunch of oldies. They play those old Casey Kasem ones.
Okay.
They,
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yep,
when you,
yeah.
Where Casey's like, now the number one song of 1972. And you're like, oh God, I've been listening to a whole episode of 1972, like whatever it was, like great stuff.
Well, not only that, but then it really puts it in perspective that how long of a career Casey Kasem had,
no doubt,
and how he sounded the same,
no doubt,
from
man.
Like the 70s all the way to what, like into the 90s. I mean,
no
like
kidding.
What, he went from the 60s to the 90s, like 40 yeah. years worth of doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Just ripping off the hits. And that, you know, that's where you had to go if you wanted to find out what the number one song in the country was. It was the only place was that show. You couldn't look it up. You couldn't just grab your phone and go, what's the number one song here in 1995? You had to listen to Casey Kasem deliver it to you. That was Tears for Fears, right? What was that? Simple Minds.
Simple
or
Minds.
A-ha.
That was Simple Minds.
One of those bands. So again, you know what's funny?
I think they had more than one hit, so I don't want to call them one hit wonders, but they didn't survive the 80s.
Simple Minds didn't survive the 80s, no. U2 did. Like U2 came aboard around that same time.
Yep.
They did. They had the Joshua Tree album and they turned it into a mega band. But a lot of these bands, you take what you get and then that's it. Next thing you know, you're playing
the three that you named. You went, was that Simple Fears? Was that Tear for Fear or Simple Minds, Tear for Fears, or A-ha?
Like, or A-ha, one of the three.
None of them survived the 80s.
Yeah. Exactly.
Although A-ha's song has been recreated, Take On Me has been recreated over and over and over again by so many different bands.
My parents are retired down in Florida, and every now and then they'll go to like one of the theme parks, and they'll say, oh yeah, so-and-so was playing at like SeaWorld or at Epcot Center. And I always wished I could get to be a fly on the wall with some of these bands where they're like, when you've got like Shamu eating 50 yards away from your dressing room, do you go, yeah, this is all worth it, man. We made it. Like, here we are in our 60s and we're playing at SeaWorld. There's a roller coaster over there and a killer whale over here and a sea lion. No, we did it. We made it. We used to play at Dodger Stadium. We used to play in Brazil, and now we're at a amusement park in Central Florida. It can go quickly. Have you ever walked through a casino and seen like who's coming up on Thursday night?
Seen it. I used to help create those ads.
You know what I mean? like don't forget Thursday night we've got fish and chips night and Chuck Negron of Three Dog Night.
No, he's that. I used to in a former life I worked in for an ad agency.
Oh, so you definitely know.
We did all the print material for this one casino in Southern California. And it was all every time. I mean, it was Gladys Knight. God, I'm trying to think of some of the Bruce Hornsby. Name some other like guys, you know, back then. Like, I mean, I think there was a Cyndi Lauper at one point. I mean, they were great musicians, great musical artists who have not seen the big arena that they used to in decades.
Yep.
But that was the thing that when it hit me, when we kept doing this and you saw all these little other casinos doing it, bringing, you know, like, okay, we're going to have this show. It may bring in 300 people that normally wouldn't have had, who wouldn't stop in our casino. Maybe some of these guys aren't even going to set foot in the casino.
Yeah.
But the thing was that I kept thinking about was that this didn't exist 20, 30 years ago.
No, I don't think, I agree completely. I think you either could really tour or you didn't tour.
Yeah. So it gives these artists a second chance.
Yeah. And just to go back to the Tiger Woods thing, they're really doing this, the appearance, right? I mean, they're, like when Tiger said, I want to compete. I don't want to be a ceremonial golfer.
Right.
Well, if you're a Chuck Negron of Three Dog Night, you don't mind being a ceremonial player in a casino band because it's better than staying home doing nothing. You might as well make a little money. And if the casino amusement park tour is what your state fair tour is your thing. I know Spinal Tap made fun of this, right? Remember when they were down to Puppet Show and Spinal Tap?
Right.
Remember that? And then they were complaining because they couldn't even get top billing above the puppets. They're like, oh, great. We're lower than the puppets. Oh, great. It was one of the most brilliant mockumentaries of all time was hilarious. Hilarious. They were showing them in arenas, and then the venue got smaller and smaller and smaller as they kept going around. Right? It's the same kind of concept. So I don't know. I would do it. Listen, if I was a 21-year-old singing heartthrob that was making all the young girls scream, and I was on the cover of Teen Beat and Tiger Magazine, whatever they are, whatever those magazines are for teenagers.
I think it was Tiger Beat as well.
Tiger Beat.
I think they all said
maybe
Beat.
It was Teen Beat, Tiger Beat, and I was like, and then I was on the cover of People Magazine as the sexiest man. I'm getting way ahead of myself here in this fantasy, but let's play along. Let's keep this going. if I was on the cover of People magazine as one of the sexiest men alive, and I was blinded by the lights of the photographs, and I was with some Hollywood starlet, I don't even remember who she is, but she's just on my arm because I'm a megastar. I'm like, I can't even go to the store to pick up my yogurt. I can't even leave the house. It's just amazing. And I was selling out baseball stadiums and football stadiums. And I looked out and saw, and then I'm 52, I'm 60, and those same girls that were screaming my name are 55 grandmas.
Yep.
And I can still make them scream at SeaWorld? Sign me up. I'm in. I'm doing it. If I can still make grandma go, ah! At Epcot Center, show me. I don't even need a lawyer for the contract. Just put my name on it. You can put any. You can put any clause in there that would take, you know, take all my money. I would do it. I would, because fame is so addicting. And when it's ripped away from you, don't get me wrong. There are some people who say, "Man, it's the best thing that happened to me." But some people can't deal with it. They can't do it. They need that. It's like a drug. They need it. So I'm just saying it. If in another life, Ron, you notice that guy looks familiar. I think I worked with him in another life. And I'm the new age superstar. Look for me at 55 with Shamu the 17th behind me, eating his bucket of fish.
Oh no!
While I perform on stage,
I don't think you'll be so downplayed to the SeaWorld circuit.
You don't think so?
No, I think you can find obscure casinos across the greater United States.
I told my wife once. I said, "All right, I'm gonna admit something. You're probably gonna laugh at me." She said, "What?" I said, We have a little arena that's up the road from our house. It's not big, but it can bring in some acts. But it's small. I said, if Vanilla Ice ever goes there, I'm going to see him.
Yes.
And she goes, what? I go, seriously, if Vanilla Ice is doing a tour and it's up the road at the little amphitheater, I'm going to see him.
Go. You got it.
I said, I absolutely would go to see him. I said, one, for the curiosity's sake, just to kind of gauge the crowd, just to be like, who is at a 2023 Vanilla Ice concert? But the second thing, because I'm going to boogie to Ice Ice Baby at my age. I'm going to go, yeah, check it. You got it, Vanilla. You do it. Rob Van Winkle.
I love it.
Totally would.
Totally got it. Would.
Right? And my wife goes, I probably would too. I go, yeah, you come with me. You totally would too.
Like, I remember, he was never a big star, but he was playing at the mall when my wife and I lived in San Diego. He played at the mall right up the street.
Mm-hmm.
And we were bored, so we went. And that was William Hung.
Oh, my God, from American Idol?
From American Idol.
That's wild.
The guy who sang She Bangs so loud or so terribly that he became an internet sensation. A local radio station decided to put on a concert for him, and he came out and sang a bunch of songs.
Wow.
At the mall.
That's great.
And let me tell you something. My wife and I weren't the only ones who were like, yeah, let's go check it out.
No doubt. Absolutely.
It was packed, standing room only. People were screaming.
By the way, so I asked my wife this. We saw the ads for the new installment of American Idol. I know it still makes money, and that's why it's on the air, and it's still popular. I get it. So don't tell me, it's because it's... But have we... Can we kill the myth that you become a star on American Idol? Like, that show's been on for what, 25 years now? 23 years? I can name three.
Yeah.
That are megastars.
Two.
Became mega, like,
no,
two.
Three.
Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, and
Jennifer Hudson.
And Jennifer Hudson.
She really done well.
That's about it. I don't remember who won.
You're not giving it to Ruben Studdard?
No, or Taylor Hicks. Or, and that's early. Those are the early winners. If you tell me the winner 5 years ago, I have no idea who they are.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on a Throwback Thursday. One Hit Wonder, who did this?
Alphaville.
Alpha, yeah, definitely. I've never even heard of them. I just know the song. But I know the song from Napoleon Dynamite. I don't even remember this song. When I was younger,
when I saw it in Napoleon Dynamite, it sparked that there was that brain cell. It was like, don't you remember this in the 80s? I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I do remember. It was like late 84, all of 85.
God, you take me back, man.
Well, this is, I mean, what, this probably guaranteed was the number one song played at proms.
Probably. Yeah, you're probably right. Adam Schefter tweeting that the room Aaron Rodgers spent his time in is partially underground, hobbit-like structure with 300 square feet of space, devoid of light, with a queen bed, a bathroom, and a meditation-like mat on the floor. Who goes to places like this?
Why?
Why would you go to a retreat like this?
I mean,
it doesn't sound fun at all.
I guess you're just going in a bucket the entire time?
Yeah. What do you, like,
I mean, not to get gross. This is my first thought. When you know you're listing all the objects, was like, so I guess in a bucket.
Yeah, right.
Good do you even Lord. Put clothes on the entire? I mean,
what
how do you
do?
Do you feel your? Do you feel where the bucket is? I mean, like if I'm in a room and it's pitch black, I know that my eyes slowly adjust, but I still can't really see. But how like black is it?
Yeah, how dark is it? This doesn't sound like a fun retreat. This sounds like what David Blaine would do as a stunt.
Right.
Right. Well, for my next trick. I'm going to go into an underground, hobbit-like structure.
You're talking about always happy, cheery David Blaine?
Yeah, with 300 square feet of space, devoid of light. I'll be in there for a couple of days. And we'll film it. That's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like a fun place to go to.
I had an old friend back when I lived in San Diego. He worked for a photographer, like a photo place where they restore photos. So I mean, right. it's actually one of those places that's still in business today. But they did have a film developing room that was pitch black, and he knew his way around in there so he could develop film and not have, you know, because it has to be pitch black in there.
They're not bumping into all the
he wouldn't bump
formulas.
Into anything. He knew exactly what it was, but he brought us in there once. You know, me and my wife and a couple of us, just so we can see this is what I work in. I was like, I this would freak me out.
You know, that's interesting. How many people have actually been in a room where there's zero light?
It's
not turning your light off in the kitchen. Like that, like with a, you know, I mean, be in a room where there's nothing coming in at all.
To this way. My hand is like 5 inches in front of my face. I can feel my hand. I cannot see it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, I can feel it there, but I couldn't see it at all. Like there might as well have been nothing.
Because
I
your
might as well
eye,
have my eyes closed.
Your eye will find any speck of light in a dark room. Like if there's anything creeping underneath the door, if there's anything in there that can, you know, that your eye will find it. But if you're in one of those rooms where it's absolutely devoid of any light at all, I honestly can say I can't remember that. I'm glad you had that experience. I don't think I've ever had that.
I mean, we weren't in there that long. I mean, I'm definitely not 4 days worth. You know, I maybe lasted 4 minutes.
Yeah,
but
right.
Even then, I knew it was like if I that's how I just picture Aaron Rodgers being. It's like, how would you find anything?
I know.
Are you just naked the entire time? Because once you drop your sock, forget about it. You know, you're done.
There's a room, I think, in Minnesota. I'm not sure, but they call it the world's quietest room. And it's built with, like, acoustic foam and whatnot. And they say when you go in there, when you talk, you can't hear your voice. You just feel it.
Oh, God.
Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but everybody says that. Everybody says, no, when you go in there. And they say you can't stay in that room for – you'll go crazy.
Yeah, you would.
Like, you can hear your heartbeat. Like you can hear, like you
hear
can,
your breathing,
like, hear your breathing. Like you hear, like there's no sound. Like there's no, like you go crazy. You can't, and you'll just feel your heart beating, but you can't hear it. And you say, I think I'd go nuts.
Yeah, I would go.
I would if I was in a dark, dark room like Aaron Rodgers for 3 days with no light.
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding
me. That's what I mean. You know, this guy worked in it all the time, so he kind of got accustomed to it. But
sure.
Even then, he's not in there for 72 hours or 96 hours or anything like that. However long Aaron Rodgers was in the dark,
it does make those groundhog jokes real, though.
It does.
Like it does make it even more real. Like it's fun in the beginning. Like oh, I'm gonna go in an isolated dark.
And do you have to wear like special glasses?
Yeah.
When you finally emerge
right.
from the light.
Does your brain go, oh, this is what it is supposed to be? Yikes, give me a few minutes to reset. Thank you very much. All right, so if you can't get a revelation on what exactly you want to do with the rest of your football career, being in a dark room, I don't know what's going
to
help you.
Maybe he's not going to the Raiders. Maybe he's like, no, that was enough black for me.
I know nothing about this retreat, so I'm just speaking off the top of my head. I'm sure I could look it up. How much do you want to bet that this costs $2,000 a night? It's one of them celebrity places, right? All the celebrities talk about it. It's like, yeah, in this little Hobbit room, it's $5,000, and everybody pays it. And there's a waiting list to be stuck in one of these things for a couple of days. Oh my God. So Aaron Rodgers, well played. Well played, I guess, right? Should we give him credit for this? Well done. You really did go into a solitude of darkness to figure out if you want to play for the Packers next year.
I don't know. I mean,
Packers should just come back and go, whatever you want to do, we're going to do the opposite.
Is this something that you give credit for?
No. Yeah, exactly. Like, he's just trolling us. That's all he's doing, right? He's like, yeah, you know what I need? I need a dark retreat. That's what I'm going to do. And then he tells his agent, find me. There's got to be someplace that has a dark retreat, right? Yeah, it's in Oregon. Oh, perfect. Book me a 3-night stay. Goodness gracious. I'm telling you, he better come out with a Nostradamus-like revelation after being in that.
Oh, no. You know what? It's a lot cheaper than you thought, man.
Oh, really? You looked it up? Well, see.
I looked it up.
Well, first of all, where is it? Where is it located?
It's called Sky Cave, and it's in Oregon. It's about 30 minutes outside of Ashland, Oregon.
Not bad. Okay.
No, which is near Medford, Oregon, if you need a bigger town.
It
says a week at Sky Cave can cost up to $1,350.
Okay, so $1,300 for a week?
Yeah.
That's not bad. All right, that's a lot less.
Kind of disappointing
thought.
In a way.
I was disappointed. I thought it was one of those. It's like when a celebrity eats an apple, and they're like, it's not just any apple. This was grown in Valley orchards, and they cost $500 a bucket. Right, one of those things. I thought it would be one of those things where just because it's famous with celebrities, they're making a killing on these little structures. So. Yeah, that's somewhat affordable if I wanted to visit the Medford, Oregon area and get a nice place to stay that's dark and quiet. And you think now they're going to up their prices? You think they're going to do the Aaron Rodgers slept here thing? Can I book the same cabin that Aaron Rodgers did to get a revelation on his life? Can I do that? Yeah, this better be profound, man. I'm not kidding now. if he gets on Pat McAfee and he goes, "Oh, I'm still undecided," I'm gonna remind him what he just did. Okay, but you just went into a darkness retreat to figure this out.
Yeah,
get back in there.
I thought the answer was gonna come. Yeah, get back in there.
Get back in there. Don't come out. Do you have a decision on your football future?
Would we do that to the groundhog?
We totally would. What if the groundhog came out and went, "Shadow, what shadow? What are we talking about?"
Yeah.
Get back in there until you figure out what a shadow is, and then come out to see if you see it. Same thing. If he goes, "Raider, what's the Raiders? Packers? What am I doing? What do I do for a living again?" Get back in that hole until you find out who you are and what you're planning to do.
You need more time. It hasn't marinated enough yet.
What if he comes out and he's figured out, like, I don't know, the mathematical equivalent of pi or something, like some sort of mystical thing.
Cure for cancer
or something like that. So some really out of the realm. He's figured out the multiverse, right?
Will he then become, like, you know, will we like him again?
If he figured out the multiverse?
Yeah.
Yeah, like every teenager in a Marvel movie now, they're instantly scientists. Like, what if Aaron Rodgers come out and he's like, "Forget football, man. I figured out world peace. I figured out how to have everybody have clean water. I've solved the world's problems. I can negotiate peace between Russia and Ukraine."
Does he come out like the Scarecrow?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. Just says, yeah, right, with it, he starts ripping off
the Pythagorean theorem.
The moment the wizard gives him his little diploma, right? Is that Aaron Rodgers?
The son of a right isosceles angle.
He is so trolling us. He's loving this. He's loving this.
Was he even in the – I mean, how do we
– Was he even in there? That's another good point.
Can we confirm? Like, do you have – I mean, and again, just like, you know, he said he was going to film it. It's like, well, you're just filming a dark space. How do we know?
Yes, exactly. We don't know. We have no idea. Well,
I mean,
you know
what? At
this
point, it could be an AI Aaron Rodgers going there.
It's so weird that the two stories that we have in NFL quarterbacks, one has this large principle attached to it, right? Guaranteed contracts. How much is it guaranteed? Do the Ravens want to be a team that gives them a guaranteed contract? And the other is a quarterback needs to go into a groundhog hole to figure out if he wants to play for his team or go somewhere else. Unbelievable. The spectrum of difference is incredible. Lombardi Line's coming up next. Thanks to all of our guests. Thanks to Ron, all of you for listening. Hey, we will see you tomorrow. Wake up call.